Good morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm the hearings officer hearing the case before us this morning, which is case number 3160162. It regards an appeal of Scott Lawson regarding a Environmental Services and Water Bureau billing. As I indicated, 3160162. Today is August 17th, 2016. We're in room 3000 on the third floor of the 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue building in Portland, Oregon. And by our clock on the wall, it is about 9:04. I waited just a couple minutes to start this hearing, which was scheduled pursuant to exhibit number 8, was scheduled to start at 9 a.m. I'm going to check with the clerk to find out if we've had any contact or communication with Mr. Lawson, the appellant in this case.
He has not contacted our office.
Thank you. All right, I'm looking at exhibit number 8, which is the notice of the hearing. It indicates the hearing was to start at 9 a.m. On August 17th in the room that I just announced. Be right behind the time, it says hearings begin promptly, underlined in bold print and capital letters. Below that section, it says those arriving late may lose the opportunity to present their case or to hear other parties' testimony. You must be prepared to present your case at the hearing, including any witnesses or evidence you wish the hearings officer to consider. Below that, it says no new documents may be submitted to the hearings officer at the hearing. And following that, there is a reference to bringing documents, and then there is a section of bullet points that talk about requesting proposed postponements or setovers. Since we have not heard from Mr. Lawson, there's been no timely request for a setover continuance, so we will proceed with the hearing this morning. If I could have the city representative identify herself for the record, please. First name, last name, spell your last name, give us your work mailing address, please.
Erica Claeson, C-L-A-E-S-O-N, with the Portland Water Bureau. I have no idea what our mailing is. 1120 Southwest 5th, Portland, Oregon, room 600.
This is a tag team affair, apparently. The hard questions were asked as far as your address. I think the rest of it you'll probably be more familiar with than maybe your address. Let me run down what this process is all about. Had Mr. Lawson been here, I would have reviewed the exhibit number 9, which is the appeal statement of rights and procedures, and asked Mr. Lawson if he had any requests of me regarding that document, and I would also have asked for explanation or clarification with clarification of anything he didn't understand on that document. Since he's not here, I'm unable to make such request of Mr. Lawson. Let me tell you, I have reviewed the documents in the file. There is an exhibit, I believe it's from Ms. Claeson, which would be exhibit, exhibit number 11, and it is a statement of facts. And within the statement of facts, there's a whole bunch of requests, or at least a couple requests that are appropriate to be made in this setting. One is that asked me to dismiss the case based on the failure of the appellant to meet the requirements of the hearings officer in the application process. I'm going to tell you right now I'm denying that. I will tell you just for future reference that if I let it get this far, a request to dismiss it on the failure of someone to have all the things in the application for a hearing, I probably will deny it. It's just my style. As you may or may not be aware, there is a new hearings officer taking my place, and that hearings officer may have a different perspective, and you may wish to set up a meeting and talk about how he's going to proceed with logistics of these cases. But I will tell you, my history is I look at it, I accept it for hearing, and it's done. But you also made a second request, and the second request was related to Mr. Lawson's Exhibit number one, I think there's a duplicate of that, but it basically indicated that he wanted to submit a whole bunch of new things, and he was making certain requests, and I will deny his request to submit any additional documents. I have made it perfectly clear, in, I believe, in the administrative rules, that all documents where there's been an administrative review are to be submitted up front, because I'm here to make a decision as to whether or not, based on whatever was before the decision-making bureau, decide whether or not that was correct or not correct, based on that information. This is a not a never-ending process. This is not a continuing process that you save the good stuff for later, and theoretically Mr. Lawson might save even better stuff for later. That's simply unacceptable for me, and it would be unacceptable for a court reviewing my decision. And so I will not and would not have, and it was prepared to indicate to Mr. Lawson that I was not going to look at any new documents or evidence, that I would be making my decision on what we had in the file. So with that, since Mr. Lawson isn't here, I would suggest that the city give me a brief and sort of prima facie, if for lack of a better term, a bit of testimony, and then based on that I will consider what you have to say and what's in the record. Then make a decision. I will at this time, without even you asking, admit exhibits 1 through and including 33 into the record. All right, Ms. Clayson, you've identified yourself for the record, please. Would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear a firm testimony about to give us truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
What do you want to tell me?
Most of it is in that statement of facts that you already referenced, so just the first part about what his appeal was to the ARC. Mr. Lawson, on behalf of the Grail number 645, disputed the December 17th, 2015 bill for the property at 8307 Southwest 22nd Avenue, as he felt that the increased usage was not the responsibility of the Grail number 645. Mr. Lawson appealed to the Administrative Review Committee, ARC, who heard the case on July 5th, 2016. After reviewing meter reads, inspector service orders, meter flow test results, customer statements, and account notes, and the ARC ruled that there was no data to show that there was an error in the billing, and the meter flow test showed that the meter was functioning as intended. And then skipping to part three of that same document, just goes into the reasons that we are hoping that you would uphold that decision. So the Water Bureau has no way of knowing where or how water is used after passing through the meter. ADM 1407, Rates and Charges for Water and Water-Related Services, Section 2, Commodity Rate states for water used through metered services. The property at 8307 Southwest 22nd Avenue has a meter, and the meter flow test performed on June 24th, 2016 shows that the meter functions properly. With a properly registering meter, it is apparent that water was delivered and used at the service address in any of the 19 apartments or other facilities serviced by that single meter. City Code 21.16.030 billing responsibility states ratepayers' response for payment of water charges shall be the property owner as verified in county tax records, water user occupying the property or party otherwise in possession and control of property. City Code 21.16.120 collections, adjustments, refunds states water user charges will be computed monthly, bimonthly or quarterly and billed by the Portland Water Bureau. City Code 17.36.080 sewer user charges, collections and charges states all charges for services provided to a property are the responsibility of the ratepayer benefiting from or using city services at the property. This responsibility will attach to the ratepayer's subsequent city utility account and applies whether the ratepayer is the sole user of the services or furnishes them to a third party. ENB 4.09 sewer and drainage system user charges, administrative rules section 5, residential sanitary sewer volume billing guidelines states residential accounts are billed sanitary sewer discharge volumes based on actual water use during the winter billing period and an average winter water use during all non-winter billing periods. The amount of data needed to establish a winter class or minimum use average depends on billing frequency. Portland Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services contend that the ARC had the authority under ADM 14.02 Water, Sewer, and/or Stormwater Billing Appeal Policy to decide the appeal of the Grail number 645, and their decision followed city codes and administrative rules when the ARC ruled that billings for the property at 8307 Southwest 22nd Avenue were valid and accurate. We ask that the code hearings officer confirm the decision of the ARC and deny the appeal of the Grail number 645.
Anything further?
No.
All right. As I indicated at the start of my comments, that I've reviewed what's in the file, which includes the Administrative Review Committee case file, includes a, which is Exhibit 17, it includes a letter to that group, which is from Mr. Lawson, which is Exhibit 18. I did review that carefully, and then I reviewed, although not with the greatest level of technical understanding, some of the additional documents related to the meter testing and reports, but I am going to take the testimony of Ms. Clayson to be credible, to accurately reflect the events in this case, that the documents do support that the Water Bureau and the ARC followed the relevant laws and procedures in this case, and there is adequate information and evidence in the record to support the billing for December 17th, 2015. I'm going to therefore deny the appeal. I will issue an order accordingly. Anything further from the city?
No.
All right, we'll close the hearing at this time. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.